Is your community falling apart because of drama and conflict between families? Has going to community lost its joy because of gossip and complaining? As a leader, do you feel like a failure because it keeps happening again and again? Be encouraged, leader. Leading homeschoolers is a difficult task, but today we would like to share some ideas about potential mistakes that you might be making and how to correct them.
Welcome to Lead Your Homeschool Co-op. Do you desire a Christian community with families that fit? Do you find yourself up late at night Googling conflict resolution and how to build a community? Do you dream of a sustainable homeschool group only to feel discouraged when policies fail, logistics get in the way, or a conflict comes up again?
Hello! We are the Homeschool Community Builders. Together, we have more than 30 years of experience in leading successful homeschool groups. But at one time, we too were in co-ops that did not work for our families. We needed deep relationships and a community that would help our families grow in faith. In order to be a part of a sustainable Christian community, we stepped out in faith and trusted God's plan to build the community that we desired.
In this podcast, we will help you create Christ-centered policies, establish a close-knit culture, and develop strong leadership skills so that you can serve your community well. So grab a pen and paper, be ready to take some notes, and be encouraged. You can do this. In this episode, we're talking about conflict. Having a policy that outlines how to deal with conflict is essential to a peaceful community. We have something for you. We have a biblically grounded and practical policy with steps to lead you through conflict in your community. Would you like to get your hands on this valuable tool? You need this resource. So become a Lead Your Homeschool Co-op Insider and get it right now. You don't have to suffer from unresolved conflict and all of its consequences. Conflict is inevitable, but there is good in this process. So go to the show notes of this episode where it says, Become a Lead Your Homeschool Co-op Insider, and click the link. Today, we want to share with you some mistakes that you may be making when it comes to conflict in your community. The first one is poor communication. So in our community, I am the director, and boy, do I know firsthand when I've dropped the ball on poor communication. Because it always comes through the woodwork.
And back to you.
And back to me. And then that's what instant regret feels like, you know, like, oh, it's so avoidable by having good communication. So this can look like members of your community just not understanding what's going on. They might feel left out. They might find out through the grapevine. And boy, that's never a good way to find out about anything, right? We want the people in our community to hear important information directly from the leadership, not from each other. It's like that game of telephone, you know, where you say one thing and as it goes through the rounds, the message gets completely distorted. If they can hear it from leadership, they're going to hear what you want them to hear, not other people's take on what you may have said to someone else. People need multiple forms of communication. So this can be written through email, or if you use Band or Facebook or whatever written communication that you use, communicate it there. It can be in announcements, in your assembly, or times when parents are getting together. Multiple forms of communication is ideal so that it's not just easily missed. And even then, there's potential that it'll get missed, but you're limiting the opportunities for that.
And don't you think, Hannah, that as leaders, we often feel like we've communicated enough and we may not have. And so over communication, like, you just have to keep doing it. You just have to remember that it seems like you're telling people things five times, and you may be, but if they haven't heard it, it hasn't been communicated. So,
right. I often feel frustrated when people say, oh, I didn't know. And I'm like, how could you possibly not have known that? I have communicated it so many times. But that's why revisiting what's important is so important, because it's, as leaders, it's already in our brain, right? Because we've made the policies, we wrote the handbook, like we have a full understanding of the why behind all of the decisions. But for people who are not in our role, they don't have all of that. They aren't going to be able to connect the dots in the same way. So they may not understand the importance of something, or it may just go over their head, or, and it's not ill intent, right? It's just, they don't know what we know. And so let's have grace for them and over communicate, even if we feel like we've said this 15 times before. That's okay. It really is okay.
Yeah. And sometimes we just have to ask for grace, because there's been many times when, like you said, Hannah, as a board, we've talked about something over and over, and somehow we just think that they should know by osmosis, but we forgot to actually tell them. We just planned something, and then we were like, oh yeah, we forgot to post it, like after we did all of the planning. So, you know, it goes both ways. And people sometimes, like me, are distracted. They can hear like one or two things at a time, and then sometimes the rest of it kind of goes out. So having those multiple bases that you get a touch that you can keep that information flowing, I think is really helpful.
Really helpful. Yeah. And you have to train your families to look for the communications that you put out, right? And that's part of the communication, is directing them always back to where to find things and reminding them, and just, it's that repetition. They eventually get it, and then they know where to go to look for the communication. But
that's a great point,
I will
Molly.
Say, yeah, I really appreciate when I get messages from people like, oh, I've checked all these places, but I can't find the answer. Can you tell me where this is? I'm like, oh, they took the time to check. That person is trained.
Yes.
but yes, for the people who don't look, you know, oh, well, here's exactly where it is. I might be able to give them the answer, but again, it's training them where to go.
Yeah.
If you're using band, say, oh, it's on the main band here, or in the files or something, or it's in the handbook on page 3, you know, so they know where to find it, because they will probably see something else that is helpful for them in the process.
We're training them one way or another. We're either training them to just come to us and ask, get the information, just like our kids do that five times a day, like you said, Mom. Or we're going to train them to be able to find and empower them to get the information themselves.
It's
so
true.
We want to empower them.
So as leadership, you need to have a communication planned. How are you going to communicate about events and policy changes and logistics and administrative things? Have a plan for that that's consistent, so that contributes to training. And then also it helps you as a leader know, oh, I've followed these steps. Great. We're not missing things along the way.
So another thing that can happen that can cause conflict in your community is complaining. And so complaining is basically just people speaking about their frustrations. And what happens when people do that, it's like poison in your community, when people just start talking about their frustrations. And oftentimes what happens is emotions get involved, so that when people are talking about something that's frustrating, it then becomes about something personal. I've had people complain to me and I've gotten emotional about it. And so I sometimes have to just stop and make sure that I slow down, get curious, be humble, and figure out what is actually going on here. And normally what is happening is that maybe a member disagrees with policies or procedures, and oftentimes it's because they have a different expectation of your co-op than what it is that they actually want. And so a couple of ways to solve this is by recognizing that your co-op may not be a good fit for that family. It might have been a good fit before, and maybe life changes and their needs change, and now your co-op is not necessarily a good fit. Helping them to understand that, as opposed to complaining about what they're not getting anymore, is how you can resolve that conflict. Another way that you can solve this is by tightening up your interview process. If somebody comes into your co-op and they're immediately unhappy, it's because we didn't make sure that it was a good fit to begin with. And so making sure that your interview, that you're clear on everything that you're offering in your co-op, and also making sure that they really understand what it is that is being offered and what it is that's being expected of them. If you get somebody in there that you have a structure where you have accountability for stuff that's due, and you get somebody in there who really loves flexibility in their homeschool, you're going to immediately have conflict with that family because their expectation is not going to be met. So being able to recognize those things right up front is going to really help you when it comes to people complaining about things. So give families a point person to ask questions to. We've talked about this several times, board buddies. Well, if you're not sure what a board buddy is, it's where a board member has a few other members that are attached to them. You're their point person. You help them with things that are coming up or changes or information. And then you're checking in. You're making sure that you have a pulse on what's going on in your community and within your board buddy. And sometimes life just changes for families and things just are not going to fit anymore. And it's okay. It doesn't have to be personal. So we just have to get clear around what it is that they want, what it is that we offer, so that it'll take the emotion out of it. It's okay if it's not a good fit anymore. They just need to recognize that that's why they're unhappy being there.
I think the example of the board in that situation, in being, in not taking it personally, in being non-emotional, because sometimes, you know, people can complain, they're causing drama. And if we can take a step back and just realize, well, their complaint comes out of this place of frustration. It's not a personal thing. We don't have to be emotional. We can calm that drama down rather than escalating it. I think the board has a large role to play in that process, in learning how to respond to people, but not react to people. Families who are frustrated can often be rather disagreeable or harsh, or, you know, they can come off the wrong way and maybe not even meaning to, but it behooves the board to take a step back and not react emotionally to that.
It's also good to have the perspective of curiosity of maybe they don't understand something. They're complaining because they don't see the full picture that the leadership sees. And so, you know, asking from their perspective, what is going on? How can we help them understand? You know, I think that genuine connection can really go a long way to help when there is complaining. And then also to make sure when you are interviewing families and you've accepted them into your community, that they understand a process where if they have a complaint or they don't understand something, here's the person that you can go to connect to. Here is your board buddy. Here is their contact information. They want to hear from you before something gets to the point of complaining to others. So, you know, really laying that out on the table and being clear is important, that they have avenues, and complaining amongst other families is not it.
Yeah, I get emotional too sometimes, and I feel like your emotions are just a good detector. They're just a good point where when you start to feel like that defensiveness coming up, to go, okay, here's the time I need to be curious right now. And it's a real helpful tool. Your emotions are a helpful tool. It's not saying something about you personally. I tend to get defensive when somebody's complaining about somebody else, because then I'm thinking, you're complaining about people who are supporting you, who are your friends. Like, what are you doing here? So, you know, it
it's
might
true.
Not even
That's
just be
hard.
About you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a fine line between complaining and gossiping, right? Which is the next kind of thing that causes conflict that we may be handling inappropriately or wrongly as a leader that is causing drama in our communities. I think the difference between complaining and gossiping is generally gossiping is very undermining and negative about a person, not just a policy, but they can be dealt with in kind of the same approach, right? We talked about being curious with somebody who's complaining. You can be curious about somebody who's gossiping too, you know, especially if you have this, like you said, Pam, you feel your emotions rising. You want to react to this person. Take a step back and don't jump to conclusions, because what they may be saying, maybe you don't know the whole story. Maybe you have to ask questions to find out more. But if it is truly gossiping and people are speaking without thinking, sometimes it's innocent and they are speaking something that they shouldn't be saying and they need to be corrected, but you can do that gracefully, right? But it is somebody's job to correct them because you can't allow that seed to spread. On the other hand, somebody might be upset, and so they're speaking and saying things that they normally wouldn't, but once those words are out, you can't take them back. And so I think as a board or as a leader, you have to take that person and point to your conflict policy and show them, this is where you're wrong, and ask them to change their MO, to go about it a different way. If they have a conflict, if they have a complaint, if they have something that needs to be said, if they have been hurt, go to your conflict policy and walk through the steps the right way. Don't start talking to people behind somebody else's back and, you know, creating all that drama that can really tear a community apart. So
it creates a lot of division.
Yeah.
People want to pick sides, you know, then once they have one person on their side, that's not enough. They get others, and it can spread like wildfire in a yeah. community. And that is very dangerous territory.
Well, and I yeah. think it's hard. Nobody likes conflict, and leaders don't like conflict either. But this is one of those jobs that leaders have, that if you want to preserve peace in your community, you have to go to the source. You have to one-on-one talk to that person face-to-face, not through email, not through text. You really have to prayerfully and calmly go to the source and try to correct it.
Yeah. And if you think about why is somebody gossiping, right? It's because they really want to be heard. And so if you come to them as a leader in a posture of, I want to hear what you have to say, like what is going on, then a lot of the times that will diffuse that
yeah.
desire to be attacking somebody, right? So if our job as leaders is to approach them with not only curiosity, humility, but also compassion. So if we're coming to them and we're like, look, lady, you've been running your mouth and you're wrong. And, you know, then we're going to get pushback, right? Like we're going to get pushback. Yeah. But if we come to them with a humble, curious demeanor and ask like, what's going on? You know, this is what I'm hearing. And what is your thoughts? Make sure that they're understanding. I want to help you provide clarity or whatever it is. And help them to know that they are actually loved and cared for, right? It's often the times like hurt people,
right?
If you can actually love them really well, then you're basically going to be putting the burning coals on their head,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I forget what scripture that is, but it's about like when somebody does you wrong, you do good to them, and then it's like putting burning coals on their head. I love that scripture because usually when somebody does you wrong, you want to put burning coals on their head. But the scripture says, no, be kind and loving to them. So if being kind and loving to them means that you're putting burning coals, then you might be more motivated to do that. It's just true. Human nature. God knows us so well.
That's right.
Well, and it may come down to you may need to be firm in your boundaries and hold accountability there, but you're coming to them with a humble spirit. Help me understand what's going on here. Oh, well, you acted in a way that is not in accordance with our vision and our mission. Here's what we can do differently, or here's what, you know, you need to make amends, or, you know, hold accountability there, but do it in love.
Well, and I Another think thing. So often that that's part of believing the best about somebody. Very rarely is there somebody in your community intentionally trying to hurt somebody else. I think if you give somebody a chance to self-correct because you are loving them through the process, then it just, that's going to bring way more peace to your community than directly confronting and telling somebody that they're bad and they, you know, all those kinds of things. So,
and I think that sometimes there are people that are verbal processors. And so sometimes they're taking their information and then they're just kind of like vomiting out their thoughts, which can sound like gossip. Helping them to understand that the things that they are saying are causing this effect can help them. They might not even recognize that they are creating this conflict. So if you can come to them humble and compassionate and curious and be able to show them what's happening, then like you said, Molly, their intention is not to cause this stuff from happening. Sometimes as leaders, it feels like they are intentionally trying to make your life miserable. But oftentimes it's because we as leaders hear every single conflict. You know, we're kind of have this burden on us that, and so we're like always looking for, here it is again, here it is again, you know, and like what Hannah said earlier, conflict is going to be inevitable. So we need to not be surprised by it when it happens. It's going to happen. But now you have tools that you can use to help you when that conflict happens. So leader, don't be surprised when the conflict happens. Know that you have a community of all these people with all of their pasts that are coming together and they're trying to do it right. They're trying to do it right because you are a faith-based community. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to us, right? And they are sinners, just like you. And so they're not going to get it right every time. But be encouraged because you can get through these things. And if you have a little planning up front and you go into conflict with the things that we've talked about in these last 15, 20 minutes, then you are going to be ahead of the game. Your emotions are going to be in check. Your lid's not going to be flipped. And you're going to be able to think through all of the challenges that you have. Leaders, even if you've made some of these mistakes, you do not need to stay stuck. We still have a few free coaching calls to give away, and we'd love to help you. If you would like more one-on-one solutions for whatever your co-op is going through, we want to help you get on the other side of it, whether it's conflict or something else, something logistical within your community, or you just want to get started. Maybe you've been thinking about this and you just need to take that first step. There's families waiting for you to take that step, and we want to help you. We're here for you. So message us through Facebook. Let us know how we can help you. You can also sign up to be part of our Lead Your Homeschool Co-op Insider, and we'll send you a conflict policy that you can use to help guide your co-op. So all the stuff that we talked about in episode 18 and 19 and all the stuff that we talked about here, there's a policy that can help you. Just go sign up and become a Lead Your Homeschool Co-op Insider, and you can get that right now. We have a Bible verse that we would love to share with you. It's Proverbs 17:14. It's the beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. What happens when a dam releases water? It causes a lot of destruction. It's not releasing water like the kind that feels good when you've got a lot of water to release. It's the kind that is destructive. So stop that before it starts. You don't want to throw down with anybody in your community, and you don't have to. That's the encouragement here, leader. You don't have to, and you don't have to dread the people in your community, because you can work through these things, and God wants you to work through those things, because beauty comes from ashes. So remember that these are those moments that God is using to equip us as leaders, and to also equip your community too. You got this. Hey friend, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with someone who may benefit from it? Or leave us a 5-star written review in Apple Podcasts. It blesses our socks off to know how this podcast is helping you. Also, make sure to connect with us on the Lead Your Homeschool Co-op Facebook page and join the conversation. We'll see you back here next time.